Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
I offered to wear a suit, and the suit stalker, the boss, says, "Oh, no, just be yourself. I want the authentic Nick. Come as you come to work every day."
I don't think I said come as you come to work every day. I did say I want the authentic Nick. You know, it's a laid-back atmosphere.
Yes.
I don't know if shorts would have been my choice.
They were golf shorts. But $100 golf shorts, by the way, folks.
It doesn't matter.
Classy look.
Yeah.
It's my my country club vibe.
I would have worn pants, but that's just me.
All right.
You know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Well, Dawn looked magnificent.
You're representing a brand.
Thank you, darling.
Morning show.
This is my brand right here. What I am in right now,
just
what
saying.
I am in every day.
It's a brand.
The most authentic, non-buttoned-up dude in the industry.
Go to Facebook, facebook.com/1210WPHD, and you can see Nick in shorts at our big event.
That's right. Dawn looked great, by the way. She had the leather jacket going.
As promised.
Yes. And then you got to complete every thought that you wanted to get out on stage. You didn't have to say,
"Let me finish, would you?"
My new favorite drop.
Yeah,
I love that.
Road Warrior says shorts and bright white legs. You're correct. It's not even like you have a tan.
Not yet.
No.
We're working on that.
Yeah,
we'll get
there.
Yep. It's a slow build.
Slow build.
I don't want to look like the crab from the SpongeBob show.
Kind of like 8 minutes of meandering before we get to news.
That's correct. 6:07, round number one of the news. Let's get to the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Thursday morning, May the 8th. 59 degrees, a beautiful morning, mostly sunny skies, but a changing forecast as we heat up to 79 degrees. We are sponsored in Kale & Company News Live this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat, Spa and Salon. Prayers for a Philadelphia police officer who's hospitalized right now in critical but stable condition. The officer shot. Officer down. That was the call. Shot near Overbrook High School. 26-year-old officer, fairly new to the force, graduating from the academy, we're told, just in 2024, assigned to the 19th District just in March of this year. The shots rang out, according to police, about 2:40 in the afternoon. This is North 59th Street, Columbia Avenue, and Columbia Ave. Philadelphia police, by the way, say this is the sixth police-involved shooting this year, the second time an officer was injured in the line of duty.
We have the video if you want to roll this film. There's a lot of melee.
Officers? Oh. You heard the pop.
Yep, there you go. Yeah.
So the officers were called in after school because this huge brawl, this huge fight broke out.
Look at this.
Now, according to the police commissioner, Kevin Bethel, he said there were several fights going on outside schools. Officers called in, and I saying, you heard that popping sound. Why? Because an adult
30.
Armed with a firearm got involved, shot down to the ground, and that bullet ricocheting back up, and that's why it struck the officer just under his vest, firing into his stomach. You know, stomach wounds. This is a rough situation. So the officer, like I say, 26 years young, did not realize at first that he had been shot.
Jesus.
And then upon realizing it, obviously, they rushed him to the hospital.
He shot down for what? Was there a target on the ground? Or was he just trying to shoot down to the ground to disperse the crowd?
Yeah, he was just trying to scare the kids.
Oh, God.
And that's, you know, firing the weapon. Commissioner Bethel, you know, ripping into this guy, just saying, really, this is an adult. The mayor Cherelle Parker there.
Mm-hmm.
They were calling for prayers for this officer. Like I say, in critical condition still this morning. He is out of surgery, shot once in his stomach by that ricocheted bullet, and he's at Penn Presbyterian Hospital this morning.
Gross.
Yeah.
The disregard for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just fighting for no reason.
On a beautiful day.
It's just like, oh, God. These,
and all the innocent bystanders. It's it looks like a very busy intersection right there. Yeah, you're just trying to get from point A to point B. God forbid you get caught up in the crossfire. We know, and how many times does Dawn say that there's errant bullets?
We have a problem. We have a huge problem here, and like, I don't know how you address it. I don't know how you address
start with
it.
Parents,
because there's no real answer that's not un-PC, if you know what I mean. Like something has to be done about this, and we can't do it because we tiptoe on eggshells.
Well, I think it starts with your upbringing, and then when parents aren't involved or around, I think fathers or lack of fathers in people's lives is a big issue, especially for young boys and young men. And then, of course, by the time you get to the adult world, we've got, you know, prosecutors and district attorneys, and we've got defunding of police. It's a snowball effect. Starts in the house, and then we've got a terrible system in place.
But, Nick, there's a culture of just disregard for life,
yes,
for humans, for other, and mm-hmm. and the only answer for a lot of people now is violence.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's, you know, fights starting out, guns, whatever it is, you know, knives, it doesn't matter. You know, pick your weapon du jour.
Mm-hmm.
They find any reason to fight.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, like, it's a culture thing now, yeah, that is spread to young children.
Yeah. Well, it's a respect thing. You disrespected me, so I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Okay.
God. So we do have, by the way, that 30-year-old, the adult accused of trying to break up the fight by shooting at the ground.
Ugh.
And that's the bullet that ricocheted, according to police, and then hey, struck the officer
here,
in his stomach.
Can you play one more time? I just want to hear the shot ring. Shots ring. You can see that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So you hear that popping noise.
Yeah.
30-year-old Deshaun Shea is now in custody, according to police. We're also learning that another teenager was arrested in connection with this incident. School District of Philadelphia expressing well wishes, prayers for the injured officer, and saying that all after school programs were canceled yesterday. I don't know if they're going to have grief counselors or any kind of counseling this morning, but they will certainly have beefed up patrols outside of school.
What was the reason for a 30-year-old being on school grounds or right outside of school grounds?
We don't know. Was this 30-year-old man,
Was he a father of
one of the children? Presumably, that he may
way,
be a father.
It looks like a high school, so unless he had a kid at 12, that seems...
Nick.
He's 30.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Just awful.
We have that going on.
This is my best friend and my daddy.
Oh, my gosh. And we have learned that a second student at Temple University is now suspended by the Division of Student Affairs as Temple continues its probe into that anti-Semitic incident that happened at Barstool Sansom Street that obviously went viral over social media over the past weekend that we've been talking a ton about that's making national news. But the second Temple University student on interim suspension. And so the first Temple student, as you know, was suspended Sunday after that video on social media showed a sign that said F the Jews. It was displayed during bottle service at Barstool's Philadelphia bar. That happened. This all began Saturday night. So Temple University, the Temple community, according to the president, John Fry, says the university became aware that one of the students had participated in an interview with a media personality with a history of producing extreme anti-Semitic and racist content. So Fry was asked about the very video that Greg played on the cut sheet yesterday. And so the Temple University president Fry, he put out there that anti-Semitism, he first of all condemned that broadcaster and condemned any kind of anti-Semitism, of course, saying zero tolerance for this at Temple. We condemn it in the, quote, strongest possible terms. We will be relentless in our efforts to combat it. That from the
relentless.
Relentless.
Okay. I hear a lot of condemnation from these people. I don't know. Condemnation, thoughts and prayers. A lot of these cliches that go around when tragedies and travesties occur, they seem to be empty buzzwords to me at this point. I'm getting a little tired of the lip service from these people. I want action.
Well, you and Elise Stefanik, because we had a local university president who was grilled on Capitol Hill by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, senior member of the Education and Workforce Committee, questioning, in this case, Haverford College President Wendy Raymond on the anti-Semitism within her institution. That was during that committee hearing yesterday. So Stefanik is calling for the genocide of Jews, protected speech on campus, starting with Haverford. And Dr. Raymond, Haverford College president, said, no, of course not. That was one of the answers. But they went back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Stefanik at one point reminding the Haverford president what happened when locally the then past UPenn president would not answer that question.
That's right. Yes. Stefanik has been, this has been right in her wheelhouse now for a year and a half.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
We have thousands of Christians around the world gathering, traveling to St. Peter's Square, hoping to witness the first smoke signal from the, or the second one from the conclave.
But are the Cardinals raw dogging it?
Oh my goodness.
According to CBS News.
Yeah, they're not dogging anything. That's part of the thing you have to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying?
So, yesterday afternoon, that smoke that was released after a vote showed black smoke. The black smoke means that they don't have that two-thirds consensus. That's what they need. And so we'll watch for today as they are, you know, obviously way ahead of us. So yesterday it was 1 o'clock Eastern time, our time, that we were on the watch, if you will. That's when the vote was expected. And that's 7 o'clock their local time because it's in Rome. So will we around 2 o'clock-ish? Day two is often the day it happens, according to all the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So wagering on papal elections is a tradition that goes back to the years 1500. The archaeologists have found that they've been betting on who the pope will be. So I was looking at all these different sites, the prediction sites, and all the wagers are flowing in. It looks like Cardinal Pietro Parolin of Italia has emerged as the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, I saw that. There's another guy about four or five names down on the list. It's very long. I think if you actually look at his last name, I don't know if you have the other names in front of you or not, Dawn, but one of the guys, I think his last name is something with the word pizza is in his last name. It's it's P-I-Z-Z-A, like Pizza Tapapi or something. I don't know. It's a very long first name and last name if you saw that name. I was thinking about throwing a couple of bucks on him as a long shot.
I was looking at, so this is Polymarket, Kalshi. So they put Pietro, Cardinal Pietro, who I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
He's by far the leader. He's got 27%+. But we also have, in second place, Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle of the Philippines.
Okay, that's not the one I saw.
And then number three is Cardinal Matteo Zuppi. He's of Italy as well.
Okay.
So those are the top three with more than 27%. Then you got 22% for Cardinal Luis. And then Cardinal Matteo is only about 10-11%.
Okay. Must have been
so
further down.
Three.
All right. By the way, if you gamble on who the next pope is, 1-800-GAMBLER. Call that number immediately and seek help.
And of course, we're all watching for 10 o'clock this morning, right when my show, The Dawn Show, gets underway. President Donald J. Trump with that big announcement on tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
So
here we go.
Got that going on.
First trade deal is in place. What nation do you think it's with?
Reality TV.
You like that?
Tune in at 10 a.m. and find out.
That's a tease.
Which nation is it with, or does it involve a trade deal as far as an energy deal? Drill, baby, drill. So, there are a lot of different options. So, yeah, it'll be fun to get everybody's take on this one.
Hey, real quick, do you want a piece of good news?
Of course.
Our buddy Harry Mays just sent me a text because the PGA Tour is in Philadelphia this week.
Truist.
The Truist. Yeah, down at the Cricket Club. Truist Championship just gave Travis Mannion Foundation $25,000.
Woohoo.
Wow.
How about that?
Nice.
Nice donation.
Very nice.
There we go.
Could they have done that in March?
That would have been nice.
That would
be
nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we take credit for that?
Come on, Truist.
I know that Jason Kelce was golfing yesterday. Yeah. We'll probably have that. We have also our Phils. The Phillies shut out the Rays in Tampa Bay 7-0.
Yeah,
take
Rays,
that, baby.
The Rays stink.
Yeah. I tell you, Florida baseball is real low energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Rays and the Marlins.
Yep.
How about a spa day? Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, the secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring. Now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, Center City, at the Lowe's Hotel. You can visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are always available. JosephAnthony.com. Remember, we head into Mother's Day this Sunday, the 11th. This is Kale and Company News Live And Nick, I know we are heating up today.
That is right, Dawn. Philly weather. It's currently 59 degrees. It's going to go up to 78 today with mostly sunny skies. Tonight it'll drop back down to right around 58 or 59 degrees and a 60% chance of showers with heavy rain coming down at times, accumulation almost a half inch, according to weather.com. So we might have to slush our way in here Friday morning. And the weather brought to you by MT Rule. You can check them out at mtrule.com because they are your Generac generator experts. That's MTRUHL.com. All right, when we come back, a Thursday big take. Get ready for it. Buckle up, folks. We're ready to let it go here on a Thursday morning. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Bernie Sanders with Bret Baier last night. What a comment. What an exposed job by Bret Baier and a couple of people in the media for calling out Bernie Sanders for the fraud that he is. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first, let's get to a Thursday big take.
The big take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take. A ticket aboard the trans train. The left is once again dying on another 90-10 losing hill in light of the latest news this week from SCOTUS and their opinion that the Trump administration and Pete Hegseth can keep trans individuals out of the military and off the field of battle. Democrats, especially the far-left progressive wing of the party, have officially boarded the crazy train as they continue to ignore biology and pander to a fringe population, despite what a massive majority of Americans already reject. And it is now spilling over from the military news into the schools and into sports as well. It's also cast a dark shadow over major American corporations and broadcast networks. And the reality is, it's music to the ears of those right of center, but it's also enraging common sense moderate to liberal Democrats that know this is a losing issue for their party. We'll start with the military and the ridiculous comments from CNN before working our way to the Loudoun County School District in Virginia and what a father had to say on Fox News, and then we'll bring it back to companies such as Nike, ESPN, and Walt Disney. But whatever Scott Jennings is getting paid at CNN, I say he deserves a raise. It needs to be doubled, especially when he has to sit next to race baiters like Jemele Hill on a nightly basis. Here is the writer from The Atlantic, formerly of ESPN, trying to equate transgender rights in the military and sports to MLK Jr. and the civil rights movement. Buckle up, listen and watch.
The other problem, Scott, is that it's never enough. It's bathrooms today. It's sports today. It's sports tomorrow. It's the military today.
No, it's also sports today, by the way.
Yeah, it is sports today.
And 80% of Americans agree, by the way.
Oh, that's fine. And 80%, guess what? The majority sometimes is wrong. That also happens, right? Because the majority used to believe that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was somebody who was a threat, that somebody who was not a good American. The majority of people used to be against civil rights. Were they right? No, they weren't. And so
you cannot engage in a debate with a woke moron. All they do is rehash things from 60 years ago in an emotional manner and then try to equate everything to race. Transgender rights are not under attack. Nobody is afraid of transgender individuals. It is all manufactured by the media. But let's stay with CNN and then flip the roles. Same network, different races. Here is a white liberal woman trying to play the race card with CNN's Shermichael Singleton, a black Republican who was having none of it. You will even hear in the beginning of this clip him mutter under his breath, quote, here we go again with this, I'm going to clean this up, sugar honey iced tea again. Listen and watch.
Human cohesion. And that's exactly the same kind of argument that they made against integrating the military when Harry Truman did it. I'm sorry. It's the same argument. Okay. It's the same.
I mean, is she wrong about that, though? Okay. I mean, she is right about that.
White people did not want to serve
I'm aware.
White people didn't want to serve black people because of unit cohesion. So now you're saying gay people
can I just, we only have a couple seconds. Michael, I see that you're frustrated that she made that argument. But is she wrong that unit cohesion was used as an excuse to keep the military segregated for a long time?
I think we should
and also don't ask, don't tell when it comes to discriminating against gay and lesbian people.
We should focus on the issue at hand.
That's what I think.
Same argument.
But I we should focus on the issue at hand. I don't know why we keep going to bringing up race. Let's just focus on the issue at hand.
Look, it's race, sexual orientation. We've seen this twice, right? In two major junctures for the military. I'm just wondering if she is drawing parallels here between the arguments that are being made to maintain this policy.
I reject those parallels. That's my answer. I reject the parallels. I think they're ludicrous parallels.
I think it is a ludicrous parallel. I reject it as well. Whether you're Scott Jennings, a white Republican, or Shermichael Singleton, a black Republican on CNN, you can't get three words out without these women jumping all over you. It's like a late night version of The View. Segregation was wrong because it was based on skin color, despite abilities in biology being identical. Transgender ability is not the same. Having someone in the military less than qualified for the sake of a quota and inclusion when lives are on the line in the heat of battle and putting feelings ahead of merit is absolutely ludicrous. What about locker rooms on school grounds? Loudoun County, Virginia, and their public schools have been ground zero, along with Bucks County, actually, right here in Pennsylvania, for school culture wars. And now, according to reports, a controversy is brewing at Stonebridge High School as the school district is investigating male students because they said they were uncomfortable with a female using the boys' locker room. The female then recorded the boys without their knowledge, and the story has exploded ever since. The father of one of those boys, he is at a complete loss for words. He joined Fox and Friends on Fox News yesterday. Listen and watch this.
His biggest feelings are, one, is that just by questioning and that he's being investigated by that, this was a conversation that he was having amongst his peers. He wasn't even questioning the student or anything like that. This was a conversation between his peers. And then to not be able to have those rights to even to question that, and then on top of that being investigated, it's very confusing.
Usually it's the biological male pretending to be a female that wants to be included in the female's bathroom. Now it's completely flipped with a biological female wanting to be a male in a men's restroom and locker room. And for that father right there, who would be against any parent speaking out after their child, regardless male or female, is facing a Title IX probe for having the natural right to question why someone of the opposite biological sex is in a safe space for the person who has every right to be in said space alone with only those of the same gender assigned at birth? This is sheer lunacy. FIRE is a free speech organization here in Philadelphia, and they said the following regarding that last story and clip we just played for you. Quote, a transgender student reportedly violated public school policy by recording three high school boys talking in the boys' locker room. But the school district is not investigating the student who recorded others in a private space. It's investigating the boys for questioning amongst themselves, quote, why there was a female in the male's locker room. If that's all the student said, FIRE reports, punishing them would violate their First Amendment rights. Student speech doesn't lose protection just because someone is upset or offended by it. That is a statement from FIRE. And if I may add one thought to FIRE's statement, which I think is 1,000% accurate, nobody loses free speech protection for pointing out biological differences in the only two genders that there are. But the stupidity doesn't stop there. In fact, it only gets exacerbated because on Capitol Hill, we had this yesterday. Here is Goss Graves, the president of the National Women's Law Center, who says the best way to ensure female athletes, specifically in one case with female volleyball players, and they don't suffer injuries from men, she says you need to ban spiking the ball in the sport altogether, and that'll make sure that women are not hurt by men in volleyball. Get ready for this doozy. Listen and watch this.
You stated your organization's mission is to ensure safety and opportunity for all girls. Was Peyton McNabb safe on September 1st of 2022?
It sounds like she definitely wasn't.
And thank
what happened
you.
To her was tragic. I would argue, though, thank that you. The answer is to ensure that people can't spike volleyballs into people's heads. That seems unsafe.
Thank you for your answer, Ms. Graves.
No, the answer, the solution is to keep men out of women's sports. And this comes as Nike, the footwear and athletic apparel juggernaut, continues to go dark and provide no comment on allegations of funding a transgender study on sports and the impact against women. Amber Harding, columnist from OutKick, who we've had on this show, wrote the following yesterday, quote, the sports apparel giant is reportedly funding a five-year study on trans-identifying male children who are being given puberty blockers and hormone therapy, all to see whether suppressing male puberty early enough can make competition in girls and women's sports more fair. And from the category of hypocrisy, we will conclude with ESPN and Walt Disney. Remember a few years ago, this was the spring of 2023, ESPN, during a live broadcast, took a moment of silence to protest their disinformation, which we now know was not accurate, of Florida's Don't Say Gay bill with Governor Ron DeSantis. If you forgot, listen and watch.
Legislation happening in Florida and across other states as well that are targeting our LGBTQI plus communities. Many of our colleagues here at ESPN have planned and organized a walkout that will be happening at 3 p.m. Eastern today. And to be honest with you, we thought we were going to come here today and really celebrate a sport that has meant so much and done so much, including for so many in the LGBTQI plus communities. But we understand the gravity of this legislation and also how it is affecting so many families across this country. And because of that, our allyship is going to take a front seat. And with that, we're going to pause in solidarity.
That, folks, right there was during a halftime show of a 40-point blowout in women's basketball. And I play that, why? Well, because yesterday, Disney World just announced, and by the way, if you don't know, ESPN is owned by Disney. Disney World just announced plans for a new theme park in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. So naturally, I'm expecting ESPN, ABC, and all Disney employees, all with a platform and a microphone, to stand up for the rights of these individuals that are under attack. Because, you know, LGBTQ+, that doesn't really fly in that part of the world. They can behead you for being gay or lesbian. Common sense, sanity, consistency. None of it on display from the left as the crazy train embarks on another trip. Except there's just very few passengers. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT or, of course, in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. You know, it's interesting, Dawn, when we talk about all of this and everything that was just covered there in the big take. I just want to zero in on the parent there that we played from Fox and Friends yesterday. Normally, it feels like every time we talk about these stories of the wrong gender in the wrong place at the wrong time, 19 out of 20 times it feels like it's the man invading a women's bathroom, a women's locker room, women's sports. This time it's flipped. It's a female in a male's space. And now the students had their rights violated, I believe. I mean, you can't be recording somebody talking without their knowledge, would be my guess. I don't know the legalities to that, but I feel like that's wrong. And then now the school district is coming down on the boys, and the father's sitting there saying, my kid's brought up in a Title IX probe, and he didn't do a darn thing wrong. If you're a parent, this is like the perfect case to illustrate why school vouchers and school choice should be a universal thing in this country right now. This is insanity, by the way.
Yeah, I think this is one of those issues that definitely brought voters out, and especially why when you look at the number of, we talk about the suburban women, I know we've talked a lot about this, why did suburban moms and dads, why were they so activated? This is one of those issues, because if your daughter plays sports, I mean, this is playing out in our area, Montgomery County, I can take you through issues in grade schools, middle schools, and high schools across Chester County, especially Chester County for some reason, and Montgomery County especially, mm-hmm. but also Bucks. Not as many stories that I know of in Delaware County where I'm hearing from parents.
No, they just had people that poop on hoods.
Gosh. But all of these different parents, no matter what your politics, your kids come first, mm-hmm. right? And so this is something that when Riley Gaines was here in Montgomery County, I mean, you know, this is something that brings parents out and in a furious, passionate way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a losing issue for Democrats or anybody who just tries to tell a parent, you know, about this issue. I mean, it's just when it's your child and they come home and say what happened and it's upside down land. No, zero tolerance. Then all the politics and all that nonsense goes right out the window.
I agree. 855-839-1210. Mm. All right. On the other side, I want to get to the fallout that continues at Temple University. Dawn headlined and highlighted it in the news. We've got a story here from the Inquirer. A second Temple student has been suspended over the anti-Semitic Barstool Philadelphia incident. And then I want to just kind of compare and contrast, because I have seen now with my eyes and my ears for 18 months, Jewish individuals have to deal with anti-Semitism, hate speech, you know, their civil rights, their constitutional rights, just under attack from these just deranged pro-Palestinian morons. Yet all I ever hear in the media is how the trans community is under attack. Let's compare those two when we come back. Who has been under attack more? Because I would argue this until my head explodes. If the trans community was under attack, there would be wall-to-wall coverage on television. Not a single story. The attack is, well, they can't go into other bathrooms. Yeah, you're right. They can't. That's not under attack. That's biology. But we'll talk about the anti-Semitic stuff at Barstool with Temple and what happened as this story has just taken off. I mean, every national talk show has been talking about this for the last couple of days. New details on the other side. It's Kale and Company here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
It's a community unlike any other community. Sometimes shows just evolve in the YouTube chat, and it's a totally different world versus what you're actually hearing and listening and watching and seeing over on the left-hand side. But we like it anyway. YouTube.com at 1210 WPHT. All right, so the Philadelphia Inquirer, Dawn had this story in the news, and I just want to give some further context to it because it is just a story that everybody is delving into, not only locally here in Philadelphia, but across the country. Anybody that has a platform has had an opinion on this story. So a second student at Temple has been suspended over their involvement in an anti-Semitic incident at a Barstool sports bar in Philadelphia over the weekend, the school announced just yesterday. The second student, whom the school did not name, was identified in an ongoing investigation of the incident by the university's Division of Student Affairs. Temple's announcement comes after a student who had previously been suspended, Muhammad Adnan Khan, he goes by the name of Mo Khan, identified himself in a video posted to X Tuesday evening, as well as on a, quote, far right podcast. That is the moron that we played for you yesterday, Stu Peters, who is just a raging anti-Semitic, Jewish-hating moron. And Temple has since condemned Khan's appearance on the show. Khan said he had, quote, nothing to do with an anti-Semitic sign displayed inside of Barstool's Sansom Street in Center City on Saturday. Since then, Barstool Sports CEO Dave Portnoy misrepresented the incident, Khan claims, painting Khan as a villain to millions of followers on social media. Speaking yesterday on the Unnamed Show podcast, this is Dave Portnoy of Barstool, which he co-hosts with Kirk Minahan, who's a former Boston sports talk radio host, and Ryan Whitney, Portnoy mocked Khan's explanation that he was a citizen journalist, claiming he was at the bar with two other young men, one of whom told a waitress to write the anti-Semitic message on the sign. Portnoy later shared videos that Khan posted on social media showing him, quote, dumping a bucket of water on homeless people, spitting on someone sitting on a bench, and making anti-Semitic jokes. This to me, and my angle on this today with this never-ending story that is now going on 5 or 6 days, is we have created this victimhood culture where the perpetrator, immediately upon being exposed for allegations of whatever heinous act, whatever sort of speech they utter, we immediately find a way to lift up and platform the suspect, the alleged perpetrator, or the with our eyes and ears, we all realize this guy is in the wrong, and they immediately pivot to victimhood. I was reading last night that Mo Khan now has, and this was as of about 6:30 last night, has some sort of GoFundMe or another company out there where he's raised over $12,000 toward a $25,000 goal.
Yep. I had that in news yesterday.
Like, Dawn, I don't understand, and maybe this is a disconnect that I have. There are people out there dumb enough to give over. All I hear from everybody is, oh, the cost of living. And trust me, I'm one of those people, so don't get it wrong. It's so expensive to do anything in this day and age. Yet we just give our money away to stupid causes, to stupid people, which makes you stupid for financing this guy, who I think is fast-tracking himself to be the next Stu Peters. This guy, in 2 years, he'll have some real far-right, racist, right-wing, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic podcast, and he'll be making six figures plus, maybe seven figures. I don't understand. I'm still trying to figure out this entire story and where, like, it's like, controversial, it's where it's debate-worthy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a very basic, common-sense, logical person. This, to me, Dawn, feels like an open and shut case. Portnoy's not in the wrong. The Jews are not in the wrong. This guy, Mo Khan, is in the wrong. And I'm not even talking about 6ABC. I've moved past the 6ABC stuff. I'm talking and zeroing in on specifically Muhammad Adnan Khan. This guy is not a victim. This guy's a D-bag. And we can't verify a lot of this stuff, right? The videos that are out there that Portnoy posted that I just quoted for you in the Philadelphia Inquirer story, because Portnoy basically clipped the four videos that I referenced, and he's got them like in a montage box on his X feed. You can watch them yourself. We're not going to play them on the show because we can't verify the authenticity of who's in it. But there's plenty of allegations out there and plenty of things that say this kid is a bad apple. Or at least a immature D-bag. And I'm not going to defend the kid.
Well, here's the thing. If what he's saying was accurate, that he was just a bystander and he was just videoing all of these things just to show them, you know, on his ex account that he didn't partake in them, that was his claim. You know, that's his claim. That's his lawyer's claim. I would assume he's doing himself no favors.
Correct.
By going on, and we said this yesterday, it's nice for the rest of the media to pick up on what we did at 7:30 yesterday morning, but he's doing himself no favors by going on these podcasts of these like, not even, you know, everybody now is like, well, he's anti-Semitic. And if you really look into it, they're not. It's just that, you know, the left doesn't like, you know, certain points of view, so they just label everybody anti-Semitic. But if you look at these this podcaster, he literally, I mean, we played it yesterday. He called Dave Portnoy a dirty, filthy Jew.
Yes.
And Mo Khan, who was on the podcast, did nothing about it. And there was more. I didn't even play all of it. There was more where he said these horrific things about people need to get up and revolt against Jewish supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this vile thing. And Mo Khan just sat there and agreed with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that in itself does not make him anti-Semitic. Let me just say that. But he didn't do anything to any of the rumors that he might be.
Yeah, and look, and here's my stance, Dawn. He can have all the free speech he wants. I am not saying he should not be able to say, even though I disagree with every word that has come out of his mouth, every piece of evidence or alleged evidence that I have seen goes to give me the feeling that this guy is a total tool bag. But look, you have the right to be that way. You have a right to say what you want. Yep. I might not agree with it. It's my right to counter your point and try to take your speech and counter it with better speech, which is what I believe I am doing on this specific story. But this kid, he's not even a kid. He's 21, 22, right? A young adult. He is now making himself out to be the victim. And I think with all of his claims of, oh, Dave Portnoy just rocked my world. He's destroyed me, my internship, my academic standing, blah, 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 blah. He's going to now use this to become some sort of martyr for the far left. And he will be platformed and probably do well in life spewing all this stuff in this world that we live in, where pro-Palestinian protests are just the norm in this country right now.
Yeah, so it appears that yesterday, the president of Temple University, in writing that strong statement about zero tolerance for anti-Semitism, President John Fry, he was in fact reacting to exactly what, you know, you played yesterday. So he was reacting to the, he just said, media personality who has a history of producing extreme anti-Semitic and racist content.
Maybe they were listening.
The student went on. So yeah, maybe he was.
Maybe they were listening to Kale and Company yesterday morning.
Yeah.
So he also, the university president also said the person, quote, in the video, one of the two students suspended, the university identifies that student as a member of Students for Justice in Palestine. So we have that connection made, and the university president said that student organization at Temple remains suspended because of actions that happened last year that violated the student conduct code.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, this student, by apparently going on that show, provided that was in fact one of the things that university feels they have a preponderance of evidence to say you are suspended.
Yes. So they are saying that Mo Khan is a member of this Temple Palestinian Student Justice Club, mm-hmm. right? Remember I played you the other clip yesterday of that club on this show talking about they want to destroy America. Mm-hmm. They want to put the dagger in capitalism. And so, I mean, you add up all the variables here. You can arrive at the conclusion, at least allegedly, that you believe Mo Khan is anti-Semitic. Now, I will say there's a follow-up to this story in response to this whole Barstool incident and the spike of anti-Semitic incidents in the state of Pennsylvania. There is a Jewish pride event, and I think we should pay attention to this and have some details tomorrow in the morning. A Jewish pride event will take place today at 8 p.m. at Vinyl, V-I-N-Y-L, which is a Jewish-owned venue in Center City. Proceeds will benefit local organizations who are trying to combat anti-Semitism, according to the event's organizers. So will we see pro-Palestinian protests out in front of this place tonight? Will there be a police presence? God forbid, knock on wood, will we see any sort of violence or any sort of harassment? I don't know. Hopefully we don't. We'll see. And we'll give you those details tomorrow if anything develops. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Dawn has some news to kick off hour number two. And then on the other side, remember our buddy Kilmar Abrego-Garcia? Remember Chris Van Hollen, senator from Maryland? He went to El Salvador to check in on his buddy. Well, we've got more details from the Tennessee Star about Garcia and what he was once alleged to be involved in, which is now confirmed. It's Kale and Company, Hour 2, next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.